annals of history, there has been some mighty duos.
Abbott and Costello.
Kirk and Spock.
Pippin and Jordan.
Mulder and Scully.
Batman and Robin.
Hawk and Keating. Well, maybe not that one.
Don't waste your time on me, son.
But you get the idea.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these two men
will try and make sense of the world with their words.
And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish!
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
The Ringer. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen,
and Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan.
Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Scotty, I used to be on the Radio Masters.
And Ben, the Governor Edwards.
Is this thing on? Oh, it's on.
It's on, man. We're back.
Hello, Benny. How are you, mate?
I'm good. I'm just knocking the cobwebs off my mic.
I know. What's going on? It's a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, yeah. I started to get really crook, and then three days later, you rang me and went, you've given me whatever you had.
You shared it with me.
Why am I dying? And that was, yeah. Man, I was so crook. The doctor ended up putting me on steroids. To get rid of it. Just call me Brock.
I was about to say you can fight Mark.
Oh, not for all the tea in China. We'll have a chat about that a little bit later on in the steroid abuse edition of Bifurama.
Yeah, and there's plenty of it before and
just
after the
ridiculous,
UFC.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
So there we are. Now, also coming in to join us on the podcast this time around, Nigel Jeffries from Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy. Of course, the big fight night's coming up on Friday, August 13 at the Vikings Club. And Benny, you're stepping into the ring at that one, taking on Brani Sek in a bit of an exhibition sparring kind of slash match. Or?
Yeah, it should be good, mate. We're having a spar, but we're going 100%.
So headgear? No?
Before I even signed up and knew who I was fighting, I said, I'll definitely help you out.
Yeah.
But I want to go 100% because of the amount of guys I've sparred with that are like lighter than me or not as skilled.
Yeah.
And some of them afterwards, they go, oh, you know, Ben's not that good. He doesn't hit that hard. And I'm thinking, dickhead, I could have taken your head off in a heartbeat anytime I wanted. So I said, I'll definitely be a part. And that's not being an arrogant. That's not being
No.
I've had people say that about me. I'm like, mate, I carried you through. I didn't want to hurt you.
Yeah.
We're training together.
Mate, you're a world champ. I mean, come on.
I get to be in my bonnet about that sometimes.
But you've sparred with Brani before, haven't you?
Yeah, we have.
So you know each other quite well.
Yeah.
He knows what to expect kind of thing.
Yeah, he's a good dude. But before I even signed up to do this, I said, mate, I'm more than happy to help out, but let's put on big gloves and headgear and just go 100%.
Yeah, well,
I know. Brani said, yeah, sweet, but don't worry about the headgear. So I'm like, okay.
There you go.
Good for you, mate. It's, nice. It's a lot more realistic.
I hear Brani's bringing the big extended family, I do believe, along to the night.
Yeah, so I heard. Yeah. I didn't expect anything less. It'd be good, mate. He's a good bloke and it should be a lot of fun.
Now, there's links on our Facebook page to go and buy tickets. Tickets start at $50. Corporate tables start from between $1,500 and $2,500. That includes all your food and all your drink, obviously. And it's going to be a great night with all the money going to Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy. But we'll find more about that a little later on. I got the Week in Review on the way. Our traffic reporter's been hovering for 3 weeks, so I don't think he's too happy with us. I sent him to Glasgow. And he's not happy at all.
He's back over the motherland.
Yes, indeed.
We'll see some more relos.
Oh, dear. So, and mate, you're back in. You're just telling me your first real session in the gym today.
First full training day
since
today.
Since being crook and everything.
Forever, really.
Yeah.
So, no, it feels actually, today's the first day of waking up. I just felt normal again.
Okay.
Felt awesome.
That's
so
good, mate.
It was great to get back in there and start moving around again.
Because, you put up a post on Facebook during the week, and I know you well enough to know you didn't put it up to get, a big pity party, as you'd call it. You just put it up to let people know where you've been because it's the question we get asked so many times. Ben, when are you fighting again? Like, who are you fighting?
I get it at least once a night on the door.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
Multiple times a weekend. But, I'm coming back for – we've got the exhibition on August 13 for a bit of fun. Then I've got a real one on September 17.
And that's a boxing match?
Yeah.
All right.
Possibly my last one.
Yeah, because you are going to have a tilt in MMA.
I have to do it, man. I can't – I've thought long and hard about it. Like, I've pretty much been off for – pretty much the last year by the time I have the real fight again. And I can't live with myself if I don't do it. If I can retire and fighting K1, being national boxing champion, and fighting the UFC, and fighting Glory,
yep.
and to have won in all organisations, I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, nice, man, nice. And with the MMA, I know you were doing some wrestling stuff with Dennis Roberts there a while ago, and he's gone to America.
Yep.
Any idea on who you're going to use for wrestling? Yeah,
There's going to be a whole bunch of guys helping me out. My old former roommate, who looks like a distant cousin of mine, Andrew Mackin,
yep.
the toe cutter, he's a great bloke. And there's a whole bunch of guys at Stockade as well, Dimitri Reza, Reed Real, a whole bunch of mad grapplers there. So although the lack of heavyweights, it might hurt me a little bit. I could still learn an awful, awful lot off those guys. And I'm not going into a bloody trying to be a jiu-jitsu world champion.
Yeah. I just want to stop the takedowns.
Just tell me five or six things and just let me drill them a million times. Yeah. That's all I need. So I'm looking forward to some fresh training.
What was it? Bruce Lee says he didn't fear the man who
knew a million kicks.
A million kicks who did them once. He feared the man that did one kick a million times.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Man, that's my philosophy as well.
Jeez, we're getting deep. Look at us. Hey. Episode 11. Off to a great start. Indeed we are. Going to kick it off right now with a song that was leaked during the week. And because it was leaked, the bands actually had to put it out. But Alter Bridge, who are big faves of mine, they've got a new album coming out in October. And the first single, pretty apt lyrically with what's going on in the States and Australia at the moment. It's called Show Me a Leader.
Yeah.
And it's a great song. So let's have a little listen to that as we kick off episode 11 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Those intentions of power persuaded, we control.
brand new from Alter Bridge. You're with Scotty and Ben on the Give Yourself an Uppercut. And Scotty,
on the Give Yourself an Uppercut what? Podcast, Ben.
People know,
you were doing so well. That was a good back announce, but you just...
I was going to ask, what did I just do again? A back announce.
I keep forgetting what that is. Yeah, you forgot one word, but that's all right.
That's not bad.
not bad. You're a couple of weeks off.
I'm the colour commentator. Oh,
let's not get too carried away, shall we? How was the guitar solo in that song?
Blistering.
Mark Tremonti.
Face melting.
Yeah, it is. He's just a machine. And their new album, The Last Hero, is out in October and will be an absolute ball tearer, no doubt. Our traffic guy, Larry's not very happy with us, Benny.
He's not happy at all, is he?
No. He's an angry man. Sent him off to Glasgow, but he's been there for 3 weeks, the poor bugger.
I've been pretty cranky after about 32 hours of travel.
Yeah.
I think he's been hovering for 2 weeks.
Yeah, two and a half weeks.
I'd be cranky too. I don't blame him.
Here's the traffic from Glasgow.
Thanks, Scotty and Ben. This is Larry, your eye in the sky, with another official traffic report for the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. This week's traffic report comes to you live from downtown Glasgow, and the city is buzzing with excitement over the arrival of celebrity film star Borat. He's in town to watch his beloved Kazakhstani team, FC Astana, go up against the mighty Celtic. We attempted to fly over Celtic Park earlier, but were turned away due to the stadium still being listed as a no-fly zone in preparation for the upcoming match. Rioting and general hysteria is expected regardless of the outcome of the match, so best to avoid the area completely, unless rioting is your thing. I'm currently hovering over Queen Street in Glasgow, where thousands of drunken Glaswegians have converged to compete in the annual and March Love Festival of placing a traffic cone on the head of the equestrian statue of the Duke of Wellington. This is causing major delays, so either steer clear from the area completely or scull a pint and join in. I will be, as soon as I can find helicopter parking. I'll be back next week with another traffic report that may or may not be factual or accurate. That's if I win my court case next week after being charged with flying a helicopter while intoxicated. Over and out. Oh, wait, before I go, nice to see you f***ing pussies back after your little man flu episode. I've been hovering over Glasgow for 2 f***ing weeks waiting for you pussies. Don't let it happen again.
Two men, two microphones, and no idea.
When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Masters and Ben the Governor Edwards.
Well, Benny, our traffic guy's not happy, so let's just forget that and move on. And let's talk sponsors of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. And first up, the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
I went there today, man.
I saw you put up a post on Facebook.
I went in, I asked for Ian.
Yeah.
Ian came out with his mad flat top. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's 81.
I think he has. He's got a great flat top,
hasn't
he?
He's a legend, man. What a great player. We had a good old powwow up there for about 10 minutes. And then I just said, all right, I need food.
Yep.
I pointed about 20 different things, walked out. Two huge brown paper bags, and I'm good for 2 weeks.
There you go. Did you get one of the new chicken bombs? I had one of them for dinner tonight.
I got a chicken something that looks awesome.
Well, the chicken bombs that they're featuring in their video on Facebook this week, it's chicken breast and stuffed with avocado, jalapenos, onion, tomato, garlic, lime, herbs, spices, and then wrapped in bacon.
If I saw that, I would have got it for sure.
Well, there's something for next time you go in. It's got a nice little bit of a kick to it. It's pretty awesome. But the best meat in the nation's capital, award-winning ham and bacon. Everything is smoked on premises. Everything is made
and
on the premises.
The bacon, he goes, he wants some bacon. And I couldn't see the bacon anywhere.
Yeah.
He picked up the chunk of the whatever part of the pig it is and sliced the bacon off there right in front of me.
Yeah, that's what they do.
How thick do you want it? Yeah. I'm like, oh, how good is that? I've never seen that done before.
Yeah. No, they smoke them in their smoke oven on site, and then they'll cut it to whatever thickness you like. And they've got two types of bacon, standard bacon with the rind on, and they're rind off bacon, which is injected with Dijon mustard and maple syrup.
Is that the miracle?
That's miracle bacon.
Bloody hell.
It's good stuff.
I mean,
Dixon and Kayleen is where you will find them. Go in and just say, give me one of everything Benny got, and you will be sorted where the quality is remembered long after the price is forgotten.
From the four corners of the globe, it's time for a recap of the week that was. Scotty's Week in Review on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
I'm going to attempt another back announce here, Scotty.
Yeah.
What do you have?
Well, it's not a back announce, Benny, because this is a segment intro. Oh, well, we just come out of the thing that's
people wouldn't have known that if you didn't say that. Segment intro. I'm going to try this anyway.
Yeah, that was like when you taught me, you know, boxing and stuff, and I threw a hook instead of an uppercut. Like you got stuck into me.
It was a hooper cut. this week in review, Scotty.
All right, mate, here we go for you. This week, Mick Jagger's going to be a father again. Did you hear about this?
I did, yeah. How old's she?
For the eighth time. She's 29, he's 72.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure it's all about that not being able to get satisfaction thing. But at least, I said this the other night at a gig, at least when he goes to Costco to buy nappies, he'll be able to save because he can buy two for one for him and one for the kid. 72.
That's crazy.
That's insane, isn't it?
How good's like Viagra and shit?
Well, he's a pretty fit dude.
I can't wait till I'm old. Imagine the drugs they're going to have then. It'll be like I'm 15 all over again.
A report says that Aussies are using less cash than 5 years ago. For our younger listeners, cash, that's that paper and metal stuff we used to use before PayPal and Apple Pay.
Is it Sweden or something? They've gone 100% cashless. No cash. Yeah.
That's no crazy. Cash.
Neville Bardas would be not happy.
What is it with wogs and cash? A study says that midlife memory lapses are a normal part of aging. And in a related story, a study says that midlife memory lapses are a normal part of aging. I had to do it. Mattel has introduced President Barbie. I'm not kidding. Who comes along with another female doll as vice president, Air Force One, Secret Service agents, and a private email server sold separately.
I was about to say, I still take care of Hillary.
Fanatical religious group claims the world is going to end on July 29 due to what they're calling a polar flip.
They must be right.
Yeah,
this has never happened before. This is unprecedented.
So don't worry too much about the whole Trump-Hillary thing. I think we're all going to be gone within the space of like 2 days. Well, actually, when this comes out, we're dead tomorrow.
We're all dead tomorrow.
Yeah. In the birthday nook this week, Britain's Prince George turned 2. No need to get him a present. Or anything in his life for that matter. I think he's sorted. He's going to be all right.
He's a cute little bugger.
He is indeed. Danny Glover, who played Detective Roger Murtaugh in the Lethal Weapon series, celebrated birthday number 69 this week. So in his words, he is getting too old for this shit. And Louise Brown, the world's first test tube baby, she turned 38 this week.
Yeah.
Real shame that her dad's a wanker, though.
Literally.
The Democrats have put up an 8-foot fence around their convention site. Now, if they could just get Mexico to pay for it, they'd be laughing. New York City's been voted the most walkable city in the world. I can't help but think there's a connection there, the fact it's the most unparkable city in the world.
It certainly is.
It's ridiculous. And finally, this week in the Week in Review, did you hear about this one during the week? A 110-year-old lobster. He's going to be flown from Florida to Maine to live out its days in an aquarium after being caught by fishermen last week.
How do they tell how old it is?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm impressed they found a lobster that knew how old it was. But apparently like something to do with the claws, but they worked it out. This thing was massive and a citizen group came in and paid for it to live out its days in an aquarium. It
must be like a tree with the rings.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Something like 100. How is that normal age for a lobster?
Or? I don't think so, Benny. No, I think it's the world's oldest lobster from what fantastic. I'm led to believe.
That's awesome.
Pretty impressive
He's probably got some tortoises and like friends with the same age.
The Bernie Sanders of the lobster world.
I'm feeling the lobster.
He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Bifferama.
That's insane in the membrane.
Well, there's no doubt this segment of Bifferama is going to be massive. UFC 200 and a stack of other stuff has happened, Benny, so let's get stuck into it.
So, we jinxed the fight straight away. We gave him the proverbial uppercut on our last show.
We did, John Jones, yeah.
And John Jones, 3 days before the fight, got pulled out on a anti-doping violation.
Mm-hmm.
Mate, how much money did the UFC waste on marketing? It's the single biggest mistake by a UFC fighter ever. And here's Jeff Nowitzki from USADA, the United States Anti-Doping Association, talking about it.
The UFC organization was notified tonight that the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency has informed John Jones of a potential anti-doping policy violation stemming from an out-of-competition sample collection on June 16th, 2016. USADA, the independent administrator of the UFC anti-doping policy, will handle results management and appropriate adjudication of this case. It is important to note that under the UFC anti-doping policy, there is a full, fair, legal review process that is afforded to all athletes before any sanctions are imposed. However, because Jones was scheduled to compete against Daniel Cormier this coming Saturday, July 9th in Las Vegas, there is insufficient time for a full review before the scheduled bout, and therefore the fight has been removed from the fight card. As a result, the three-round heavyweight bout between Brock Lesnar and Mark Hunt will become UFC 200 main event.
Yeah, geez, Dana White was pissed off during that whole speech, wasn't he?
Oh, mate.
He was ropeable.
As you would be. Like, yeah. It's the UFC 200. It's your biggest show ever.
Yeah.
I'll get to it later, but you're in the middle of negotiating a deal to sell the company. And you've lost your main event 3 days before on the UFC 200, which is supposed to be the biggest fight ever.
Yeah.
So he got popped. It came out afterwards that he tested positive for two anti-estrogen blockers. And as we've spoken about on another show, you have to take when you take like steroids and beer and all that sort of thing, you have to take anti-estrogens because with your testosterone levels rising, your estrogen levels rise as well.
Oh, right. So it stops you getting moobs and stuff.
It certainly does.
Yeah, right.
And you don't get anti-estrogens in supplements.
No.
You don't get anti-estrogens at GNC.
No.
You're not going to get them. If you're taking anti-estrogens,
it's just my pre-workout, man.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
This isn't your first rodeo, man.
Yeah. And
if you're doing that stuff, you've got a doctor or a scientist or someone
in your team's doing it. Yeah.
And you haven't just started doing this. That is not something you don't go from A to Z straight away.
Yep.
So this raises a whole huge question mark, asterisk next to his name.
Yep.
It's he said he hadn't taken anything, and his new supplement company just dropped him immediately.
Wow. Like
the day he got posted. It was shocking day for John Jones. He's looking at a 2-year ban, which we'll find out in the next couple of weeks. And with the money he's been getting paid, there's estimates that he'll miss out on up to $30 million over the next 2 years.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so it's a pretty crazy mistake. One thing I found interesting, where we'll play a little bit of it now, but he was fronting the media and taking questions in his own little press conference he had the next day. Usually under the same circumstances, from what we've all seen is, if someone gets popped for something like this, they'll have a prepared statement with their solicitor or manager, and that's all they do. So I thought that was a very interesting little side bit, but it was really weird because he'd go from just an emotional wreck, like pure genuine, tears,
massive tears,
genuine tears to stone-faced sociopath.
Yeah.
So it was quite weird, and we'll have a quick listen to that right now.
You know, supposedly they found something in one of my samples that I have no clue what it is. I don't even know how to pronounce it. I've been taking the same supplements the majority of my career, and I've been so outspoken about being against, you know, any type of performance enhancers. I'm still to this day extremely against performance enhancers, and so the whole thing sucks because you know, being labeled as someone who would ever cheat is, it just hurts me more than anything else I've ever been through in my career.
Yeah, that bit in the middle where he's going, can I have a tissue?
And, man, it was weird. Like, you could see, like, this dude was he was crying genuinely.
Yeah.
And then 30 seconds later.
If you just worked out you'd lost $30 million in 2 years, you would ball your guts out.
It sort of looked like, man, I kind of might believe this guy, you know? Like,
and then the B sample.
And then, well, no B sample's ever tested different to the A sample. But it's just weird how he'd go from just, you feel sorry for the guy, and then he's just like stone-faced. Yeah, I've been here before. Yeah. It's all good. You know, I'm like, man, that's crazy. So anyway,
big way to come back.
Oh, man. That's hard. And the 28 and 29, he'll be over those next 2 years. And that's the prime of his life.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's a millionaire already. Like, he's the GOAT. He's the best ever. But still, the 30, up to even 1 million.
30 mil.
Man, dude, 10 grand, I'd be crying. 10 grand over 2 years.
Dana White, put this man in the UFC for Christ's sake.
Absolutely. So with Jones out, they announced that Daniel Cormier would fight the longtime middleweight champion Anderson Silva on 48 hours' notice. He was there for the show anyway.
Yeah.
He's arguably the greatest of all time, but At middleweight, he's obviously a much smaller man, and DC cruised a victory in a very boring safety.
Yeah, well, it was the worst fight on the night, and a lot of people booed and stuff, but DC did what he had to do. He didn't have to take the fight, but he wanted to be there, so he took the fight, and he thought, I need to, you know, I've got to be careful because this guy's a striker. Yeah. I need to get on top of him, get him on the deck, and that's what he did. So he did what he had to do to get the win.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he said.
And it wasn't pretty. He goes,
I got the W under terrible circumstances, and he would have walked away with about $4 million himself for that. Yeah. So I would have fought too.
Yeah.
So on to Brock and Hunt.
We'll get to
the controversy in a second, but with the fight itself, Brock fought a very, very, very impressive and patient fight. And when he got marked down a couple of times, he didn't take any chances. He just controlled the position and came through with a unanimous victory. He could have postured up and really let the jackhammers go, but he didn't. And so before the fight, as we spoke about, everyone was upset that Brock got an USADA exemption, meaning he didn't have to test
for the four months leading into the competition.
But he was getting tested before the fight and directly after the fight as well. Hmm. So, and that was for his fight was announced 35 days before the fight, and he got tested, as I just said, right up to directly after the fight. And from what I could find out, he tested 10 times, and he cleared 8 of those tests and failed 2, ironically, for the exact same estrogen blockers that John Jones tested positive for. Yeah.
Which means he was geared up. And Mark Hunt said, like, to have that body that Brock's got, there's training, but then there's roids.
Yeah. Like, mate, the guy's a freak of nature with an awesome work ethic, but you put a shaved ape to shame. You know what I mean? Like,
King Silverback.
It's just crazy, man. And in the aftermath in this week, Mark Hunt went on a profanity-laced tirade.
So good.
Mate, he was just
Where was that Mark bombs. Hunt on our podcast? I want to get him back and just let him go sick.
Cut loose.
I'm not even going to use the bleep button if he comes back. Just let him go. It's too good.
He just went nuts on the MMA Hour podcast with Ariel Helwani,
demanding
the UFC give him a cut of Brock's expected $10 million total earnings for the night or to release him from his contract. He's also started about starting a fighter's union. And then the whole thing since that. All fighters, I found this out of Chael Sonnen, so take this with a grain of salt, but it totally makes sense. All fighters have in their contracts that the UFC holds their purse until all the drug tests come back clean. The Nevada State Athletic Commission can fine Brock up to 100% of his purse, which was $2.5 million, and the UFC can hold his estimated $7 to $8 million in pay-per-view points. They can hold up to 100% of that as well.
Yeah, right.
So theoretically, Brock could miss out on everything, but that...
I hope he does. I honestly hope he does.
Well, is it attempted murder?
Someone's going to die one day. Well, Mark Hunt hurt against Bigfoot Silver.
Yeah,
that was that huge fight that went five, greatest heavyweight fight
broke
ever.
Broke his hand, couldn't make money.
Couldn't make money for 8 months because Silver was smashed. When they had another fight where it was clear that Bigfoot wasn't on the gear, Hunt walked through him.
He went down like a $2 hooker.
He did. Oh, I love that.
Onto Jose Aldo and Edgar. They fought before that on the.
It's a pretty good fight,
mate. It was, and mate, this is a highly anticipated matchup. From 3.5 years ago, they had their first one. Frankie had made himself the clear number one contender with a series of emphatic victories. Aldo, up until his last fight, which obviously we all know, first round KO loss to Connor, was arguably the pound for pound number one, unbeaten for 10 years straight, which is awesome for anyone, let alone when you're only 145 pounder, which is 65 kilo dude. That's a little man with obviously not as much power.
Big.
Me too. AGB's They're Viking HEB. So there was a lot of questions to where Jose would be at mentally. And Aldo performed and looked phenomenal. He looked just physically completely different to his to his fight with Connor. So I'd be surprised. I can't believe he passed the drug test, to be honest. I don't know if he looked different in his fight with Connor because he was training differently. He might have been concentrating more on the cardio.
Yeah.
But he looked jacked.
Yeah.
He beat Frankie to the punch every time, was able to stay on his feet for the most part, and clearly won on unanimous points.
The best part, though, was every time when I saw it when I was watching it on the lounge between coughing up, you know, lungs.
I watched it by myself, too.
Yeah, me.
I didn't want to make anyone else sick.
Just McGregor just standing up. for the whole fight, just staring at Aldo.
Oh, ice cold. I hate to be behind him. I'm not gonna, even though he's half my size, I'm not going to tell him to sit down.
Yeah.
I'll just be peeking around the side. He's ice cold. He's dead. And you can even see when they put the camera on him, he's just burning a hole in the camera.
I know.
And his missus next to him is sort of like looking at him like, oh, shit.
What's going on here?
So the fight was for the interim featherweight belt and sets up a mouth-watering rematch with Conor potentially down the track.
Yeah.
Conor said whatever happens in his fight with Nate on August 20th on UFC 202, he's going to go back down to 145 and defend his real belt.
Yep.
So that's going to be a cracker.
Oh, that'll be huge.
That'll be the biggest rematch. Well, will it be bigger than Nate? I don't know, but I think it's safe to say.
I think it will be.
I think so too.
Just because of the hate that, like, Aldo and him just hate. Like, it's pure hate.
Yeah, and I also think with Jose, he was in a position where everyone just held him in such a high regard. He was so respected by everyone. Yeah. To have this cocky little Irishman who
just no left, one had ever heard left of, hook, no 13 one, seconds.
And no one had ever heard of him 3 years earlier.
Yeah.
To be talking, just be so disrespectful and talking this mad shit. But, mate, it's genius. It's mental warfare.
Mm.
And this fighting is 90% mental.
Yeah.
I'm telling you from personal experience, the fight's won or lost before the fight.
Yeah.
Like, well and truly before the fight. By the time you get in the ring, it's just a formality. I always liken it to, and you like this analogy, it's like recording a CD.
Mm.
And on the night, you just press play. It's all done. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
that's what Britney Spears does, mate.
That's with the auto-tune.
No, not auto-tune. She just mimes. She just mimes, mate.
She might have been influenced by Milli Vanilli. There's an old reference for you.
Yeah, indeed.
And the main event was actually... the girls got the main event. Misha Tate and Amanda Nunes, which how awesome is it for women's sport? They've gone from not even being in the UFC 4 years ago to main eventing the biggest show ever. And... how good is it for the LGBTQ community that the spoiler Nunes, alert now champion is a lesbian?
Yeah.
So I reckon that's fantastic. Then
yep.
I think the UFC has actually broken so much ground in that area compared to other sports.
Yeah.
It's been unbelievable. Yeah. So,
and it was a good fight. I mean, Nunes just beat the shit out of her.
She's a bad mother. So Tate being the champion, she got absolutely smashed. Got her nose broken. In one of the first exchanges with punches, never really recovered and got subbed with a rear naked choke at the end of the first round. Since Ronda lost the title in November, the women's bantamweight title has changed three times in 8 months.
Every new fight is a new champ.
It's unbelievable, man. Like the level of competition is through the roof.
And Ronda, like if you pay attention to her social media, she's on the way back now too. So
is she really? Yeah. I haven't seen.
Oh, haven't you? Yeah, no. She's training, and there's all sorts of little hints that.
Oh, really?
She's coming back. Yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see because. 2 years ago, like not even up to last year, no one could touch Ronda.
Yeah.
Even Holly Holm didn't look that crash hot in her fights, but she got, you know, two fights in the UFC out of the way first, got her confidence up, got the UFC jitters out of the way, and had that stellar performance at the Etihad Stadium in Melbourne. But, man, I don't know if Ronda can come back and do it. I think she's too one-dimensional for the current class of chicks because, man, like Misha, Holly, Nunes, dude, they're all going to give Ronda –
They're good stand-up game.
Ronda's got that knockout against Betch Correa, but Betchy couldn't bust a grape. She's got the athleticism of a freaking star picket. You know what I mean? Like, and what Ronda did was fantastic, but you take the armbar away.
Yeah.
She can't. She doesn't know how to defend kicks. She doesn't train kicks. No knees. There's no elbows. It was just boxing and armbars.
If she's a true champ, she'll be working on that. She is
a true champ. Yeah. Look, whatever happens now, if she actually comes back and gets in there, win, lose, or draw, that's a champion.
Yeah.
The strength of character you have to go through to do that.
Yeah.
Especially to be on, like, she was suicidal after the fight. And I can not relate on such grandiose terms, but.
Yep.
I do understand what it's like to feel like to have you lost your identity.
Yep.
And you don't know who you are anymore.
That happened to me last year when I lost my job in a different way. But and
If I'm not this, what am I?
Yeah.
This is my whole identity. Yeah. So this is what people know me
Mate,
for.
Mate, I did that career for 24 years without missing a day.
It's what you
and
do.
Then it was taken away instantly.
Yeah, it's what and a lot of people say you got to have that separation where it's not what you do, it's who you are.
But you don't. Your career becomes such a massive part of yourself
and
your self-worth.
Absolutely. And deep down, you love it, man.
Yeah.
And it is a part of who you are. And it's hard to get that separation in real life. So moving on, the UFC has been sold.
Yeah.
It's been $4 sold.
$4 billion.
4.2, man. Hey, don't forget that point two. We, yeah, it's been sold to WMEIMG, which is an American talent agency based out of Beverly Hills for $4.2 billion. Don't forget the point two. And an interesting side note, they've been looking after Ron. They've been Ronda's talent agency for the last couple of years, and they've helped to get a few movie roles and stuff.
Right.
So they might have actually opened the conversation between them and the UFC.
Yeah, okay.
So the Fertitta brothers, who are now the former owners of the UFC, bought it in 2001 for $2
million. It's not a bad return on investment, is it?
What's that, 42 to 1? 42?
If anyone wants to come to us after episode 100 of this podcast and offer us... Oh,
2 to 1?
Yeah, that's fine.
We're out. So that's just phenomenal. But an interesting little thing I listened to on the Fighter and the Kid podcast on the way here. Since 2001, fighter pay has only doubled. Like, the UFC started making profit in 2007.
Yeah.
But fighter pay has only doubled in 15 years when the turnover... Obviously, they're not making four, but they're probably making... I think they make like $200 million a year, I heard. But of that... Of that entire revenue that they... That $200 million, the fighters get 7% of that.
Yeah.
Now, NFL is like 40%.
Yeah, right.
And of that 7%, the champions get 4%. Yeah. So the other...
All the other fighters are getting bugger.
It's less than minimum wage.
It's like rugby league. I mean, most of your first graders, you know, your average first grade wage in rugby league is about 80 grand.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got your guys on your 600, 700, 800,000.
It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's like everyone always thought when I'd go, oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm in radio. Oh, man.
John Laws.
No, well, the Hamish and Andy, you must be rich. Yeah, no, man. No. Yeah. It's the top 1% make 90% of the cash.
Yeah, that's always the way.
Yeah.
So the president, Dana White, is going to stay on after personally receiving $360 million as part of the deal.
Oh, Christ.
To go with his $10 million a year wage, which isn't bad for a former Vegas bellboy. Who'd take your suitcase to your room at a hotel you'd stay at in Vegas when he first moved there.
Wow.
So I thought that was pretty cool. So we'll move on to the boxing side of things. We had Joe Parker take on Solomon Omono, which took place in Christchurch in New Zealand.
Yep.
Solo was training with Manny Pacquiao's conditioning coach, who's a fellow Aussie, and Justin Fortune.
Mm-hmm.
So I did follow him on social media for this, and he'd been training awesome for that at a quality gym too. But he is 40 years old, and he looked slow right from the start. He landed a few decent shots, but it was getting outworked for the first four rounds until he got caught with an uppercut and counted out.
Yep.
Now, the controversy calms. He got, quote-unquote, counted out, but the ringside official was on 8, not 10 seconds when the fight was called. And if you watch the clock, he was standing and looking at the ref saying, I'm fine on 8 seconds, which means the fight continues. So... Solo's team has filed a complaint, which is definitely warranted, with a rematch, definite possibility, which would be a nice couple of paydays to finish his career, but the outcome was never in doubt. My question is, why do you have a 77-year-old man, a tiny little 77-year-old man, refereeing a professional heavyweight boxing fight?
Well, you've done like 300-something fights over the years, but you've got to hang up the latex gloves.
He butchered it. And the same thing happened with the Mayweather-Victor Ortiz fight.
Yep.
The guy, he's super experienced, but, mate, there comes a day when you've got to walk away. And the most important thing is for the ref to maintain control and maximize the safety of the fighters. And he didn't even wave the fight off clearly, and no one, including Parker's corner, had any idea what was going on watching the fight.
Yeah.
And what happens if the heavyweight Samoan and heavyweight Tongan professional fighters get the shits and they want to start punching on after the bell? Well, what's that little dude? And they want to go ghetto.
Not a thing.
They're throwing down the gauntlet.
He won't do a thing.
What's he going to do? Yeah. And in fact, if something was to happen, he'd be the first one to hit the deck with potentially life-threatening injuries.
Yeah, just give Herb Dean the job for every fight.
Get him Herb, man. I love Herb. And all you got to do is look at the fight with Golota and Riddick Bowe. When Golota, he was a nutcase, like super talented guy, but he kept hitting Bo in the pills. And Golota's trainer is a guy called Lou Duva, who trained Evander Holyfield, David Tua. Like, he's a legend. Golota hit him in the pills like four or five times.
Yep.
Everyone's got the shits. Everyone's jumping. It was just a riot. Lou Duva's got in to try and protect his fighter or stop the fight. He's hit the deck, had a heart attack in the ring live on TV.
It's on YouTube.
Look up Lou Duva heart attack.
Yeah, wow.
Bo Golota. There's no way a 77-year-old man should be refereeing that kind of fight. I reckon there was a joke that he was in there in the first place. I hope Solo gets the rematch and gets the payday he deserves because he's a phenomenal athlete.
All right, Green and Mundine. Otherwise, it's going to be next podcast before we finish this Bifurama.
It is, I've got to take a breath. I need just give me some Ventolin, man. So the rematch is on, 10 years in the making. With some estimates as high that $30 million of revenue will be split between the two fighters. I highly doubt it'll.
Well, they claim they're going to get $10 million each, aren't they?
Yeah, with some estimates upwards of 30, but yeah. I reckon you're right. It will be about 30. It'll be multi-million dollar payday for each.
Green would want to win this fight he's got coming up against Watts. If he loses this fight going
the
in,
the pressure's on. Yeah. The pressure's on. Mate. I think I'll talk about it here, but Green's the goods. And the rematch is set for 83 kilos, which is definitely in Green's favour, with Mundine fighting as low as 70 kilos and Green fighting as high as 90 kilos since their initial fight.
Yeah, right.
And they both looked healthy. Or Mundine struggled to make 69. He was supposed to fight at 69 kilos, but he made 70. And Green fought Shane Cameron at 90 kilos and looked $1 million.
Yeah.
So I've seen both these guys stand next to each other in the show at Luna Park. And, mate, Green's a much bigger man. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, there's no doubt, no matter what you think of the guy and what he says, but Mundine schooled Green in that first fight. Absolutely schooled him.
He certainly did. But when you see the two of them next to each other, like, fair enough, Green had been fighting at super middleweight, which is 75 kilos leading into that, but he was dying to make that weight in the few fights before that. And I think part of the Mundine strategy was to hold off as long as possible, because the older you get, the heavier you get naturally. Your organs get bigger, little things like that. So it becomes harder to cut weight like that. But you know what? Whatever happened, Mundine won fair and square the night. He looked awesome. He's a phenomenal athlete.
He was so quick.
Phenomenal athlete. Yeah. But you could see Green's next fight after that was at like 80-something kilos, and he looked like a completely different bloke.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, Mundine won fair and square.
Yep.
So they're looking at doing it at the end of the year or early next year, either in Melbourne, Sydney or Perth. They spoke about Uluru, but I can't see that happening. Mundine is fighting at his heaviest weight ever, and unlike Green, who fights next Wednesday against fellow Aussie Kane Watts, so Green should get through him, but the pressure is on. Even if the fight happens as early as November, it's going to be a full calendar year since Mundine fought last, and that's coming off $40,000 hip surgery that he had in the UK, whereas Green, obviously, he's fighting next Wednesday, so he's going to be not going to have any ring rust or greenie. And his last couple of fights, he's looking good
in training. I've been watching him on Facebook.
He's been training hard for a long time, and he looks sharp as. Yeah. And I definitely think I'll be putting my money on Green.
Yeah,
at 83 kilos and at this stage in both their careers.
Yeah, nice. For sure. Very, very nice.
And that is finally not it.
Oh, really?
We finally got some kickboxing news. Finally, it's been forever. The first real super fight in years in kickboxing since I fought Overeem.
Yep.
Well, not really. There's probably been a few super fights since, but we don't need to get in the details. It's finally been signed with the clear world champion, number one, Rico Verhoeven, fighting kickboxing's bad boy in Badr Hari, who I did a profile on back on episode 5.
Who's an arrogant tool.
He sure is. Yeah. But I didn't say that, Butter, if you're listening. Don't break my leg at a concert.
Come to Queanbeyan, Butter. Come to Queanbeyan.
Scotty's ready for you, man.
I've got a five-month-old Staffy that'll tear his lips off.
No comment. So there's a huge contrast in their personalities and fight styles, obviously. You got Rico, he's a consummate professional, technically brilliant, and just a seriously great bloke. I fought him back in 2012.
Yep.
And he smashed my leg. He's got legs like friggin' tree trunks. And I was actually doing the right thing. Everyone says I can't check. Well, I was bloody checking, but his trainer was screaming at him in Dutch to keep kicking me, even if I blocked him because of how much I was hurting. And I thought I had my poker face on, but
this is the fight where your legs just gave out, isn't it?
One of them.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
And I just felt like I was getting smashed in the shin with a baseball bat.
Yep.
And he told me that when we were at the after party at Macca's.
So we
went to Macca's in the city. We all went out together because he's a good dude. Like,
Just kicked the shit out of you. Let's go and have a big match.
We did. We do it all the time. Like, he's a really good bloke, man. Yeah. When we're in Romania and we'd already signed to fight each other, we both had fights about 5 weeks before in Romania, and we'd already signed. We knew we were fighting each other, and I'm out for dinner with him and his mum and dad. We're just it's the elephant in the room no one talks about, but he's just a seriously great bloke.
Yeah,
mate.
Nice.
And he's made a lot of money over the last couple of years. I'm very happy for the guy. So finally, we have a
big fight. Yeah,
because Bart has just been fighting for our old mate in Chechnya, the old warlord, and a few other rich crazies.
Kasparov.
It's going to be a one-off. It's a big risk for Glory, but Glory is the company that it's going to be taking place under, and they're the biggest kickboxing company in the world. Who I still got one fight under contract left with.
Yep.
But I can't see them signing Barter to more than one fight. So it's a lot of pressure on Rico being their champion to have a guy like Barter come in.
Yep.
Possibly beat their champion and then take off and fight for some other crazy millionaire. I reckon he's going to retire, but I don't reckon he will. He's younger than me. He's 31.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a huge risk for Glory. So they're definitely they're all in on Rico, but it's an awesome fight, man. It's going to be an absolute crack, and I can't wait to watch it.
Beautiful. Well, Benny, that was thorough. Let's just call it that, shall we?
I need a breather.
That's what happens when you take a few weeks off for the man flu, ladies and gents.
Thanks to Lang's Auto Centre Queanbeyan and the Butcher Shop Dixon and Kayleen, you've downloaded the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Masters and Ben the Governor Edwards. God bless the interwebs.
Time to talk our other wonderful sponsor on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, who we wouldn't be here without, and that is the crew at Lang's Auto, Yass Road in Queanbeyan. Benny?
I wouldn't be here at all because I wouldn't be able to get here. I'd have no car.
Well, they looked after your car?
Well, they're going to. I'm pretending this is 2 weeks ahead.
Johnny, if you are listening, he's been sitting here telling me for like five podcasts, oh, I'm going to go and buy meat at the butcher shop, and he finally did it today. So he will bring in a soccer mum van or whatever driving.
I have actually organised the tow truck. I just got to give him a call and let him know what time it'll be.
Because last time, I think it was the last podcast, you told us how it basically fell to pieces on you while you were driving it.
Yeah, it's still. Well, it's not on the side of the road at Charney. It's at Mum's house, just sitting there, taking up the visitor's spot at the apartment complex. So.
Well, I was in at Lang's today. I called in to see Johnny on the way past, and they were busy as always. And that's a sign of a great mechanic. When they're always busy, there's always cars there. You know they're doing a great job. So I've been using him for, 12 years now. They can do logbook servicing, the whole lot, all your slips that you need for New South Wales, including green slips as well for your registration, and the auto electrician in the shop as well if you need to get stuff done.
There's nothing they can't do.
Oh, that's right. Probably not brain surgery or bicep surgery, which Dino...
It depends what kind of brain. There's a few brains on South Bar I reckon they can improve.
Probably, with a blowtorch and a ball peen. If you need to get your car sorted, though, you could do a hell of a lot worse than go to Lang's Auto. You'll find them, Yass Road in Queanbeyan.
Now, on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, it's time to get loud and local. Here's something you probably haven't heard before.
Can I do another back announce, Scotty?
Well, no, this is another segment intro, Ben.
God damn it.
Back announce is when you come out of the back of a song. So you come out of the back of a song that's finishing and then you announce something.
I'm going to write this down and next week I'll probably get it right.
Yeah, no, I reckon you'll be okay. It is local music time right now and I want to feature a great band who had their first gig last Friday night and we were lucky enough, we headlined the gig at the Transit Bar and they're called Stormatic. Now, Stormatic is a guy called Matty Elford with a bunch of other musos and he's put it all together. It's Matty's project and Matty was in a Canberra band back in the 90s called Ion. I don't know if you remember those guys, but they got a lot of radio play back here in the 90s and stuff. And then he went on to form a band called Ultimo, who opened for Nickelback at Acer Arena in Sydney and stuff like that. And they had a Pommy lead singer. And then their Pommy lead singer ran into visa troubles and had to go home, and that was the end of the band.
Oh, dear.
And then from that, Matt went, well, screw working with crazy singers. I'm gonna be the front man. And, he's written a bunch of great songs and working with some of the best people in the music industry on these songs as far as mixing and recording and stuff like that. And, it's pretty quality stuff. So we're going to play a little song for you now called She Doesn't Know Your Name. The name of the band is Stormatic. As I said, their first gig was last Friday night at the Transit Bar. You missed a great one, but if you see their name in BMA or anywhere around town, go and check them out.
She looks out the window, thinking all about the missing pieces. Rain bounces off the road, her heart is speeding down that old highway. Looks in the rearview mirror, thinks about whose eyes look back at her. Never knew what went wrong, never knew why.
Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty and Ben. Thanks to the crew at Lang's Auto Centre and the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. That there local stuff from Strawmatic, and I was lucky enough to gig with those boys the other night at the Transit Bar, and very, very tidy work from Matty Elford and all the crew.
An automatic straw.
No, Stormatic.
Storm.
Stormatic.
Oh.
I said it a bit funny.
Oh,
sorry
okay.
about that,
it's
Benny. Right. First week back, the tongue's not working after our healthy dose of the man flu, mate.
Mate, I don't know what you gave me, but I was in bed for like nearly 2 weeks.
Oh, man, I was as sick as a dog. But anyway, we'll
thanks for sharing.
Yeah, no, sharing is caring, brother. That's what it's all about. And we want to welcome to the show right now a special guest, a man I've known for a bit over a year now with his work with Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy and, of course, Pedal for Pierce. His name is Nigel Jeffries. He's in the studio. Our first POM on the show, Benny.
Oh, dear.
G'day, Nige. How are you, mate?
I'll say g'day.
There you go. There you go. Nice. Now, mate, we've got the big fight night coming up, Saturday, August 13 at the Vikings Club. Of course, we did it last year. Different setup this year, a few different people and stuff, but essentially the same idea, getting able-bodied people in there to muscle up for muscular dystrophy, which is what people who suffer from the disease can't do, essentially.
Absolutely, Scotty. Yes. Mm. Once again, the fight night's on, this time with the guys from Stockade Training Centre and the Bulldog Thai Boxing.
Yep.
They came to us and said, look, we want to help you guys out and put on a fight night.
Yeah.
And you can't say no to that.
No, well, you can't say no to the best boxing gym in the ACT.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then when you get Benny Edwards, he says, I'll jump in the ring for that. I can't say no to that either.
No,
he's a bit bigger than me.
He's a little bigger, isn't he? Now, Benny, mate, you've obviously been crook for a couple of weeks, and I know you put up a post on Facebook this week that we'll get to, but September 17 is your first let's call it real fight back since your layoff. But how are you preparing for this one? And tell us a bit. We've spoken about him a little bit, but tell us a bit about Brani that you're taking on in this charity heavyweight fight on the night.
Well, since I've got over the bird flu that you gave me, today was actually my first proper day of training. It should be a bit of fun, mate. Find Brani. I don't think he's ever had a boxing fight, but he's a kickboxer. He's had a dozen fights or so, and he's a super tough guy. He's a friend of mine. We trained together.
Yep.
We did a sparring session together like 2 weeks ago, and I was pretty happy how I went. He hasn't called for another one since, so he's probably been training the house down while I've been sick, so I've got some work to do. But, mate, he's a super tough guy, and he'll come to fight, and we'll put on a show for everyone.
So, 4 2-minute rounds, I believe, on the night. Now, I guess the thing, though, like for you, if you win, everyone goes, oh, yeah, former Australian heavyweight boxing champion beat a guy called Brani. If he gives it to you on the night, everyone's going to be going, what the hell's going on there? So you've got to pay attention to what's going on, haven't you?
Oh, he'd knock me out in a heartbeat. His whole family's going to be there. You beat your ass. I'm training like a world champion for this next 2 weeks.
Oh, dear. Now, Nige, Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy, as I said for many years on the radio, and it's how I got involved with you guys. My dad's got it. Yep. He got diagnosed at 44. He's... what's dad now? Dad's 70 odd now. And I've watched him decline, especially over the last few years, like massively. He's pretty
26
much,
years.
Yeah. Jeez. So he's a stubborn old bugger. he'll stick around as long as possible, but he's pretty much wheelchair bound now. And when he was diagnosed with the dystrophy that he's got, which is the same as Rob Oakley from the group, the way around it back then was they fused your rib cage to your shoulder blades. They screwed them together.
That's right.
And that's what they did to my dad, which essentially ruined any chance he ever had of, maintaining muscle mass and doing the work, because it just ruined him.
That's right, yes. Yeah. And, since then, obviously times have changed, things have changed, developments have changed, and that's basically what we try and raise money for, is to look into how we can help these people.
Yep.
Move on and have a daily life,
as we
sort of call it now.
Yep.
We've been working with the Uni of Canberra on a lot of physiotherapy work, which Rob Oakley has done a lot with, and a lot of great results have come
Rob's got the same dystrophy, as I said, as my old man, and he's over in America
water skiing at the moment.
Yeah, like awesome. that kind of stuff. I mean, he was a pretty fit chap when he got diagnosed, from what he told me, which made a big difference as well. But, Benny, I know when we asked you about this, you didn't think twice about getting in the ring for this one. You were there last year. You were helping out fighters on the night and stuff, so it was an easy thing to get behind.
Yeah, of course, mate. I'm sure, as we were just talking about off air, we're all sort of touched by something. There's always there's something. We're all 1 degree away from something horrible happening to someone that we love. So more than happy to help out with something like this.
Yeah, nice one. Now, Nige, I guess the important thing, tickets, there's corporate tables and there's just standard seats as well. How do people go about getting them, and what sort of dollars are we looking at?
Well, they can jump online
to
the Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy website.
Yep.
We can probably put a link on the podcast.
Yeah, we can do that. It's capitalregionmd.org is where you will find it. Yep,
that's right. And so we got seated tickets for $50 for the night.
Nice.
Which is nice to come down. I think Brani's got his football team coming down, so the kids and they'll be in the front row, apparently.
Jeez, Benny.
So Benny's right under pressure there.
They can catch him. Sorry, Brian.
Okay, so 50 bucks for a normal seat.
Normal seat. Then we've got tables of 10, which start at $1,500 for a standard table, which is still a corporate table that gets
food, drinks,
view.
All food that and sort
drinks,
of stuff,
all included, table service.
Yep.
Good view of the ring, going up to a ringside table for $2,000.
Yep.
And then we got the special VIP package for $2,500.
Which is like an elevated table
at
ring height.
Ring height. So you're right there. You'll be basically having a punch with your dessert,
nice.
I think.
You might end up with someone's tooth in your tiramisu.
That's right.
Yeah, nice. Oh, dear. Oh, I mean, last year I think we raised about $30,000.
That's right.
What has that money gone on to do for people suffering with MD in the Canberra region?
So basically that's gone in part to getting a cough assistance machine, which are around $20,000 each.
Yeah, right.
And once you do get them, it stays with that person.
Right,
okay. So they're a bit, it's a bit of a unique product to get.
Yep.
But once you do get it, I mean, because the sufferer really actually needs it.
That's for people suffering Duchenne, is it? Muscular dystrophy?
For Duchenne and a few of the other congenital muscular dystrophy as well.
Yep.
Basically helps clear the lungs.
Yep.
Because they can't cough without the muscles.
Yep.
Never thought of that.
No, nor have I.
No, that's happened to my dad. Like, his diaphragm on the right side is paper thin and it's weak. So all his organs internally have moved over to the right side of his stomach. So on the right side of his stomach, Dad looks pregnant. On the left side, he looks like a supermodel. Well, I'm not getting too carried away, but he looks a lot better than it does on the right-hand side because, dystrophy is the muscles waste away as part of the disease and they atrophy and turn to fat. And, you just things you wouldn't think of, like breathing, coughing, all that sort just of stuff we all can take become for granted. A massive issue.
And then other parts of the money are helping families with changing their houses, for instance.
Yep.
To get a wheelchair into a house. Massive job.
I'm not sure what company it was.
Occupational therapy.
Yeah, but they've all been at our house. We've got all bars and stuff put all over the bathroom. They've helped him out so many. Measured up everything.
That's right. Simple things like that for the everyday person.
Big money.
I know. It's not easy either.
Back home to my mum and dad's, my bedroom doesn't exist anymore. That got turned into a bathroom big enough for Dad's electric wheelchair. When I go home, I sleep on the lounge now. But all good.
Yeah, Ben, I'd just like to raise a point that you brought up on Facebook recently about depression. And I know you weren't depressed, but it's something that really is quite powerful in what we try to do as a group with Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy, and that is help everyone that's affected, not just the person with muscular dystrophy, but the mums,
their families,
brothers, sisters, the whole wider family.
It's hard work, and it's
good that someone like yourself has come out and said, I've seen the bad times and I've seen the good times, and that's what we need to try and help a lot of our people with. Is overcoming those bad times and feeling that there's someone there to help them, and so they can get a bit of positivity into their life and keep going. So it's a great thing.
The main reason I put it up, because a lot of people look at me and they think, handsome, toughest bloke in town. That guy's got
funny,
it going on.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Humble.
Drives a soccer mum van. He's all over it.
But no one's immune, mate. I've done some pretty cool shit in my sporting career and that. But no one's immune. Like, we're all only human, mate. And it's okay to admit if you're struggling or you've got a problem.
Yep.
And whether you got depression or you're just directly affected by something like muscular dystrophy or anything else, there are millions of other things that are out there. It's okay to say there's a problem, and it's okay to ask for help.
Yeah. And it's good to know that someone like yourself has come out and said, I've had a problem.
Mm.
And people out there will look up to you and go, you know what? Ben said it. I can say it.
Yeah.
I can reach out and get
and
some help.
That's the thing. I mean, for families, like whoever has the disease, obviously is quite a focal point, with doctors and people and therapists
and
whatever.
And
the other people can, And I've seen, again, what my mum's done for my dad for the last 44 years, and it's bloody amazing.
Yeah, me too.
And same deal, but it affects them, and they have days where they go, wow, what happened to our life, We had all these plans and now this happened and we're on this path, and it can be hard. So that's another thing out of this night and why we want more people to come along, because it's not just helping people with the disease, but it's helping their entire families, essentially the village of people in Canberra
that suffer
through muscular dystrophy, and that's what it's all about. So capitalregionmd.org is the website. It's Saturday, August 13. Half the corporate tables are gone. Still plenty of seats, just standard seats. So, folks, come along. Last year was a great night. And I know Benny Reed, our good mate Benny, has been helping people with their training. And there's a lot of people that are stepping into the ring for the first time And it's a big ask, isn't it? I mean, I fought in martial arts tournaments as a kid, and I remember those, certainly not to the level you have, Benny, and stuff. But walking into a ring or to a cage or onto a mat, it takes a certain kind of strength. And I know last year, young Pierce, that was there on the night that you do a lot of the cycling stuff for, he was just over the moon, seeing all these people he'd never met coming up to him going, mate, I'm scared, but I'm going to get in the ring because, it's not as scary as what you're facing. And it was just a wonderful night, and hopefully we can get Canberra along.
And I was scared getting into the ring when we were setting up. so that's why I stood back and played the music instead. Yeah.
I get scared as soon as I smell the deep heat. As soon as I smell deep heat, I don't think shit.
Well, last year, Mike Houston, when he came into the ring for that charity fight, he had shares in DP. I even said to him, I just went, mate, did you take a bath in that bloody stuff?
Would have been a bit of strategy just to try and get in the other guy's eye or something.
Oh, he then dropped one fair into my guts and almost put me on the deck, I tell you what. But folks, come along. Ben Edwards taking on Brani Zek and a bunch of other fights on the night. And best of all money raised goes to Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy. So, Nige, thanks for coming in for the podcast tonight, mate. And
thanks for having us.
We'll see you there on the 13th.
Thanks, mate.
Certainly will. Thank you.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
Love this segment. If you've ever got a question for us, be it about bloody the atomic weight of boron or what's a really good thing to clean your walls before you paint them.
That's the second time you've mentioned boron. I'm going to look at my periodic table. I'm going to find that out.
The atomic weight? Yeah, it's 10.2. Sure.
Well, there you go.
I actually know that one.
I needed closure.
Yeah, there you go. 10.2 is the atomic weight.
Are you Breaking Bad?
No, not at all, Benny. But if you've got a question, hit up our Facebook page or email us and we'll get to them. So first off this week, Benny, for you, this one's from Matt Burgess, who's asked, who are you fighting on September 17? Because you did announce on your Facebook page this week, we know you're doing the charity night. We just heard from Nigel before about the Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy, but that's an exhibition fight. September 17, you've got a boxing fight. Probably your last boxing fight?
Possibly, yeah. We'll see what happens. I never say never, yep. But I'm looking at going down the MMA route. I'm looking for a new challenge, as we spoke about mm-hmm. in the intro, and I'm finding a big Samoan guy called Junior Tafa, who's one of Mark Hunt's training partners, who Mark actually flew over to Las Vegas with him
Help
him prepare for Brock. So, he's a big, tough dude.
Yep.
And, looking forward to it, man. I want to fight someone who's going to give me a bit push of a you. Challenge and yep. give me a few rounds out because I'm going to be rusty as.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm excited to fight for the first time in a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And
you look like you've got the hunger back, mate, in the eyes.
I have, mate. It's
good, man, because you're meant to be in the ring.
Oh, I can't. I'm born 1,000 years too late. I'm not even joking, man. I'm not meant for this shit. I'm serious. I'm supposed to be swinging off a horse, swinging a claymore, and I'm supposed to die with you're an English arrow in my chest.
You're supposed to be at King's Landing.
100%, man. I wholeheartedly believe I'm born in the wrong era. Yeah. I wholeheartedly believe
there
that.
There you go. All right.
So I'm looking forward to that. Now I've got a question for you, mate.
Yeah, okay.
This one's from, I'm calling him Timmy.
Yeah.
Hang on, man. He's having a go at me in this a little bit as well.
Both of us,
I'll let you cover for me, mate. I'm sure you got my back. Since you've both had the man flu, do you have a cold remedy?
Normally I just go to bed wearing, you know, trackies and a hoodie and cover yourself in Vicks and wear socks and sweat it out. But whatever I had 2 weeks ago, it needed steroids to kick its ass. And it did. The doctor actually put me on oral steroids and went, there you go. But she's gone, this is going to really mess up with the bottom end of your body. And I'm like, oh, good. What, great.
Made you super horny?
No. Super runs, mate.
Oh, dear. Oh,
yeah. So got all the crap off my chest and got it out of somewhere else.
At least it's
so
out.
Sorry if you're eating your breakfast right now listening to this, but it's funny how it would take away one sickness but make you crook elsewhere.
Yeah,
which
wow.
That's why I was only on them for 3 days.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that's great. Bizarre, well, but just in case Asada are listening, I'm not interested in taking any of that, mate. And I bathe myself in sympathy and go to bed.
You do. You just get man cuddles.
Yeah, I go see Mum. I'm like, Mum, I'm not feeling the best. And
can you fix me up? Yeah, nice. I don't know, Timmy. Plenty of rest, plenty of water. That's what the doctors tell you, isn't it? But obviously, whatever we tried didn't work.
Yeah.
When I was at my worst, I had a gig out at Parks with the band. And I had a bucket in front of my Marshall quad box.
Hardcore.
With my
amp,
and like I'd be turning around mid-song and throwing up into the bucket.
That's
and,
rock.
And in the set list, I'm throwing up just, it looked like squid's ink. Seriously, there's this guy sitting next to me. He's like, how much have you had to drink? And I went, 7. He's gone, 7. I went, yes, soda waters. That's all I was drinking.
That's hardcore.
And I was throwing up shit that looked like tar.
That's on par with playing a gig with a broken leg, I reckon.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool, man.
Maybe.
That's
I don't know. I shouldn't have been there. I should have been home in bed, but I was there. You don't cancel a gig, Benny.
Never.
You just don't cancel.
I heard that.
You
heard,
can cancel a podcast twice, think, but not a gig.
Jason Newsted from Metallica said that you don't call in sick when you're a rock star.
I ain't a rock star, but I don't call
you
in sick.
You are a rock star, man.
If you got a question for us, hit us up on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/uppercutpodcast, or you can hit us up on the email uppercutpodcast@gmail.com.
On the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
I think we got a show.
Oh, yeah, we got a show.
It's listener request time.
To liven things up.
Well, Benny, last week you lost the mantle of Canberra's favourite fighting son because we didn't do a podcast.
Number two.
Yeah, you were behind Duke Didier, apparently.
Man.
Who's been very quiet since Brock got busted with the Roy.
He
Roys.
Was very loud.
Oh, the minute. The
until
minute,
this article.
The minute the fight finished, you and I both got tagged on Facebook by Duke going, oh, told you so. And I'm like, you jerk. But yeah, whatever. But he's been very quiet in the last week or so.
He came out and saw me at his tail between his legs. And he's like, yeah, he gave me the crown back. You're number one.
So a mate of yours, Simon Fosca.
Foscarini.
Yeah, he's going, if you guys
Forklifterini,
don't...
I call him.
He's going, if you don't play some Kill Switch Engage, you're number two fighting son again, and we can't have that.
Mate, he could probably tap me out in about 6 seconds. He's a great bloke. He's a mere jiu-jitsu player and one of the strongest guys in Canberra.
Yeah, right.
Like,
okay.
He's in the weights room. He puts me to shame. Like, he's actually competes in the strongman competitions.
Oh, yeah, right.
I don't know what he weighs. Maybe 85, 90 kilos or something. Got a 270-kilo raw deadlift, no wraps. He's strong as hell, man.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's why I call him the forklift, man.
Okay,
forklift
well,
arena. He's strong as hell, so we better play what he says.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, bit of Kill Switch Engage who announced
last
week. I
love this song, too. Oh, I had this on my old, in my old bloody CD, in my old bloody Tirana.
End of Heartache, man. What a fantastic song from a fantastic band. And they only announced last week they're going to be in Sydney in March next year at the Enmore Theatre.
Yeah, wow.
Tickets go on sale this week, so I think I'll be buying some tickets to go see these guys. Check this out. This is a cracker of a song.
I'll be waiting for the end of-
What an absolute ball terror that is. Kill Switch Engage, End of Heartache. Howard, I miss Howard out the front on vocals, but Jesse
is that
back.
His name?
Well, that was Howard Jones, because the original singer in Killswitch, like, signed huge deals, biggest album ever. The original singer went, oh, I just got married, oh, I don't want to tour anymore, so he left.
Oh, shit.
But though the band was still all on good terms, and then they got in this huge African-American guy called Howard Jones, who shared a name with a foppish blonde dude who had hits in the 80s from England, like To Get to Know You Well and stuff like that. I always thought that cool. was so cool that they had the same name and they were poles apart. But Howard came in, sang through a great period for the band with some awesome songs like that one, and then he became a total rock star and ended up having a massive Coke binge and went crazy, and the band went, see you, and Jesse came back. So
I had no idea.
Yeah, he's
didn't
back
a similar thing happen with Nightwish with the original singer Tarja?
I think
her
so.
She got married and her husband wanted to get her away from, you know, like she's a pretty lady and awesome lead singer, and he wanted to get her away, and they've had her like two or three singers since, and it's just never been the same. So they're lucky they found someone so good.
Yeah.
And to get the other guy back as well.
Jesse's killing it now.
Yeah,
absolutely killing it. So there you go. That's just about it for us this week. Need to say a big thanks to the crew at the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, and of course Lang's Auto Centre. And we promise we'll be back next week. I don't think we're going to get struck down. No. I sprayed this room with Glen 20 before we started.
Rock stars don't call in sick, Scott.
I think we'll be fine, Benny. I've crowned
myself a rock star. All right. I'm coming in.
A podcast star doesn't call in sick either. if you want to hit us up, facebook.com/uppercutpodcast. We're on Twitter at Biff and Riff is where you'll find us. And the email is uppercutpodcast@gmail.com. So get on there, say hello, tell us to get stuffed. If you don't agree with us, whatever, just say something. We don't
say
care.
Something. Yeah. Give us something.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. but before we get out of here, we've got to do our uppercut of the week, Benny, which is a great segment where someone who needs an uppercut from Benny gets given one.
And I think you've got a wonderful candidate.
Yeah.
This isn't going to take very long.
Okay.
Who do you have, Scotty?
Robbie Farah. Just shut the f*** up. Seriously, you've only got a career still because it's Laurie Daly picks you from reserve grade, dude. You were a great player once. You're not that great anymore, dude. You're back with the pack. Just go somewhere else. Go to England. They'll pay you shitloads to be a sook. That's it for this week. See you later.
See you, folks.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed rhyme.
And then Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Hey, at least they played some kick-ass music, right? This podcast couldn't be made possible without our sponsors, Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan
and the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Until next time.